KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. On today's show, a man, a mission, and a different way of looking at and distributing frozen food. But first,
support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Aaron Kallenberg is a man with a mission. Well, he's a man with a company with a mission. The company is the Wild Alaskan Company, and the mission is this.
Wild Alaskan Company's mission is to accelerate humanity's transition to sustainable food systems.
If that went by fast, don't worry, you'll hear it again. But who is Aaron Kallenberg?
I grew up in Homer, Alaska, but I fished in Bristol Bay with my father. My dad grew up in Bristol Bay, and he fished with my grandfather. My grandfather was actually born in Manhattan, but when he was 23 in 1926, he decided to move up to Alaska from the East Coast, and he fell in love with the fishery, started fishing in wooden sailboats, served briefly as the chairman of the Territorial Board of Fisheries, and he also wrote his master's thesis, which was titled A Study of Red Salmon of Bristol Bay with Particular Reference to Teaching Its Conservation. So those were the conversations that I was having with my family growing up on the fishing boat, but I was the nerdy kid that took my laptop out to sea, out in the bay. And when we weren't picking fish, I was tinkering around on the internet, and I sort of turned that passion for technology into a career in software engineering.
So what inspires an engineer with a career to start a company with a mission?
I think that the catalyst for me, I was living on the East Coast. I was actually living in New York City, and I wanted to do something nice for my family. So I booked this super expensive seafood restaurant in Manhattan, thinking this is going to be the best of the best. And when we got there, it was probably 6 or 7 weeks before the first opener in Copper River, and they were advertising fresh Copper River salmon. And, my dad said, well, I got to try the fresh Copper River salmon. How on earth did they get it, before they pulled any out of the water this season? And he was really gracious, filled out the comment card. So it's just amazing that you guys were able to pull that off. Of course, there was no way it was fresh or, unlikely, actually, from Copper River at all. We get approached quite often. Aaron, you want to sell farm salmon or tilapia? You could make so much more money. I just laugh. If you go onto our website and look at why I started the company, it was the exact opposite of that. We didn't start the company to make money. We started the company to accelerate humanity's transition to sustainable seafood. And it was being in that restaurant with my father and my sister and, realizing that consumers are largely disconnected from the sea, but their food in general.
And the inspiration was planted for a different kind of company.
The Wild Alaskan Company is a monthly seafood membership service. We ship a curated box of wild-caught sustainable seafood to members across the country. The box usually comes once a month or as often as the members would like. We spent about 8 months working on the supply chain before we even sold our first box of fish. The economics of direct-to-consumer seafood become much more manageable if you can get the fish as close as possible to the market. And there isn't one warehouse group that really touches the entire country in a manner that allows a seafood purveyor or any frozen food purveyor to highly efficiently deliver food to the doorsteps in all 50 states. So what I did was I built an order management system that hooked into our e-commerce platform that did the heavy lifting of determining which warehouses received which orders, so that the warehouses themselves didn't actually need to be aware of the total number of orders we were receiving. They just had their subset. And because we're a membership model and we curate the box, we offer three separate types of boxes: a wild salmon box, a wild whitefish box, and a wild combo box. But within each of those boxes, we have a lot of flexibility. You know, coho salmon, sockeye salmon, various whitefish, cod, halibut, rockfish. And so we have the flexibility to not hold the same inventory in one part of the country as we do in another. And the software was able to determine, based on the available inventory, what combination would be sent to a regional market. And again, that took the better part of a year before we shipped our first box. And it's the thing that has allowed us now be one of the, I guess, the largest decentralized frozen food network in the country. You know, we have to sell seafood, but I always joke we could sell ice cream with this software. And what it is many different warehouse groups that are not connected. They're not talking to one another. And we're, you know, forming relationships with them individually and then letting our software manage the orders on top of it. And that was really the biggest challenge and something that, you know, I viewed as a paramount to scaling our delivery system. We made a decision early on that we wanted to target a large market, the United States, all 50 states. We took a digital advertising strategy online. When you're advertising in a specific geographic region, it can be more expensive than when you allow consumers to come in from anywhere in the country. Of course, the downside is it's much more expensive to ship fish to the middle of Montana and downtown, you know, Manhattan. And so the biggest hurdle that we had to overcome was developing a fulfillment network of frozen fulfillment warehouses where we could store the fish close enough to enough of the country to make the economics back out. You know, I like to describe Wild Alaskan as a tech-enabled logistics company and a tech-enabled marketing company, you know, that happens to sell seafood.
So all you have to do is fill the three boxes with salmon or whitefish. So you're able to choose whatever is freshest and most available in cold storage at the time to fill those boxes. And as long as they're the right portion and you're up to a standard of quality, that allows you a lot of flexibility.
It does. You know, the company's not quite 50 employees now, but we have a very talented operations team, and they have a lot of control over what the software will and will not send a person. So they're always going to make sure, you know, not to disproportionately give somebody cod, you know, if we do have halibut. So there's some manual thresholds that the procurement team and the operations team can set. The other thing that's really great about it is we can spot buy from individual suppliers. You know, we had a supplier that had a bunch of 4-ounce halibut steaks, so smaller halibut steaks wrapped 2 per pack, so 8 ounces total. But, you know, typically those would go into some type of secondary market. And, you know, 10,000, 15,000 pounds of these 4-ounce halibut steaks, harder to put into a grocery store or maybe even a restaurant, you know, but we were able to purchase that lot and put it into one of the fulfillment centers and do some what we call life cycle marketing around that specific SKU and advertise it to one region, right? So that was only available or even shown to the members in which we could actually reliably source it and provide it for. And again, you know, it's a matter of the software basically knowing what's available in what regions and what and whatnot. We view ourselves as a your personal fishmonger. Nielsen actually did a report about in 2015. They said that the milkman is back, but this time he's gotten digital. And, you know, these direct-to-consumer models of food showing up on your doorstep or this intimate relationship with, you know, the purveyors of various vertical niches, you know, whether it's the milkman or the butcher or the fishmonger, That's nothing new. That's just something that the industrial food system usurped, you know, through these larger grocery chains. And now we're, because of technology, able to return to these direct relationships. So to that end, you know, of our nearly 50 employees, half of them are personal fishmongers. We call them member experience specialists. And you have to think, a consumer, you know, ordering fish on the internet, that's a pretty scary thing. So we offer 100% money back or satisfaction guarantee. If you go onto our Facebook group, Wild Alaskan Company, What's Cooking Tonight, it's a private Facebook group, but you can request to be joined. You'll see almost 14,000 of our most active members sharing their recipes every single day, what they're cooking with our food, and talking about different techniques, thawing techniques, you know, cooking techniques. So I think that's something that we've definitely prioritized, is getting people to cook seafood at home. As we know, most of the money that's spent on seafood in America is spent in restaurants. And of course, as any Alaskan knows, cooking fish is one of the easiest things to do. You just have to keep a new consumer from overcooking wild salmon, because if they're used to cooking farm salmon, they're going to dry it out, you know, the first time they cook wild. And so it's a huge part of what we do. I mean, just half of our staff is dedicated to that.
And is the average lower 48 consumer starting to recognize the difference between sustainable wild Alaskan fish and just fish?
Well, I think it's super important for the Alaska seafood industry to continue to differentiate. And I think that one of the major challenges in marketing seafood is it's historically viewed by the consumer as a commodity. It's just salmon, right? It's not wild. It's not farmed. It's not sockeye. It's not coho. It's just salmon. And so that's a big marketing challenge. I think that Alaska has done a decent job at defining, you know, the difference between wild and farm, but the nuance, you know, I view, you know, that relationship, you know, to the food source as important. And, you know, if you look at another industry, the wine industry, which is typically not commoditized, right, in a consumer's mind, you know, people are talking about the terroir of this grape and that grape, and there's no reason that you can't be doing that with salmon. You know, the fat content in, you know, the Copper River versus the Quijack, you know, there's tons of opportunity for creating market differentiation and increasing, you know, the value in the minds of the consumer. While the Alaskan Company's mission is to accelerate humanity's transition to sustainable food systems, I think that, well, the entire Alaska seafood industry probably isn't going to feed the world. They can feed a lot of people, and they do, and more importantly, become an example for other food systems in the world in terms of how to have a responsible relationship with Mother Nature and a connection to your food source that is actually renewable.
Aaron Kallenberg and the Wild Alaskan Company. Thank you.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.